Proverbs 16:32 says this, and he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. You know, so oftentimes we do not identify anger in our own life. Thank you, son. And last night we saw a great example of what someone that could not control their spirit, saying foolishness and unable to just stop on both sides. And know what it made? It made it unable to get your important thought across. That's what happened last night. Again, no matter who your guy was, maybe your guy was the moderator. He seemed to have a side. Whatever it was, whoever your side was, those thoughts were not able to be portrayed because someone control their spirit. So it is in our life. When we're dealing in anger and working through and responding, unable to control our spirit, you might even have the right information, but it gets lost in that. And man, when I saw that last night, I was, I don't know if the word ashamed was right, but that was unwise behavior. And it was just playing out what we've been talking about in Sunday school the last couple weeks. Someone that was unable to rule their spirit, telling the president to shut up. What on earth? Just craziness. And then interrupting and just out of control. And just unable to rule the spirit. And so oftentimes we look in our life and go, ah, what's the big deal? We saw the big deal last night, what it looks like, and it's ugly, and it's not pretty, and it never works. And just want to draw your attention to an illustration of what we've been talking about in Sunday school. All right, turn with me to somewhere else. Hold on. Revelation. I had the blessing of reading through Revelation again this past week, and this Revelation chapter 16. Revelation 16. All right. Verse 10. So, if I can kind of tell us what's going on here. The wrath of God is being poured out upon the earth. From what I read and what I study, the church is not there. They're dealing with something else called the judgment seat of Christ and the marriage supper of the Lamb. And while that's going on earth, God is judging. And here, what do we see? He's opening a number of vials. By the time we get to the fifth vial, we read this, and the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness. Look at this. And they gnawed their tongues for pain and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores. And look at, and repented not of their deeds. As I was reading this passage over, I was reminded of how important repentance is and how God brings things in our life to help us see the error of our ways and desiring us to repent and turn to Him. And with this fifth vial, I mean, I read a lot of things. I mean, the sun gets turned up, if you will, right? In verse 8, and the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and the power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And the Bible says, and they repented not to give him glory. He was doing this to get their attention. Now, this is, I would say, the most extreme of cases.
Last time I checked, the sun was still at a relatively manageable distance. And it was warm out earlier this past weekend, but nothing to the point of scorching us. I mean, it's dark outside and all, but not to the point of it affects us so greatly that we're in so much pain gnawing on ourselves. But God does things in our life. What does he do that for? That we would repent. What does it mean to repent? Here's the definition of repent. Real penitence. Sorrow or deep contrition for sin as an offense and dishonor to God. Hey, there were some ways that the people were doing here that God says, this is wrong, it's wicked, and there's a judgment for that. And he desired that they would turn to him, and they just didn't. And sometimes in our own life, God puts things in our own life that we would repent. And he tries to draw us to him. Repentance is really important. Sorrow or deep contrition for sin. It's a problem in a Christian's life to have the indwelling Holy Spirit of God and not bothered at all by sin. That we don't see sin as an offense and dishonor to God. What happens when that happens is that you'll be very carnal. And your relationship with him will be absent at best. Repentance is understanding that we have violated God's holy law. And truly, just as the definition says, in the basest ingratitude towards a being of infinite benevolence. Do you hear that definition? The basest, that means the lowest, ingratitude towards a being of infinite benevolence. I just don't care how good you are to me, God. Repentance. Have sorrow over our sin. May we never get over repentance. Real repentance. We all need it. Who needs it? Everybody needs it. 2 Peter chapter 3. Look at some verses and just remind us tonight of the importance of repentance. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. Can I say repentance isn't just an event that happens in our life, but it's a mindset. It's a sorrow over our sin. It's an acknowledgement that my sin offends a holy, righteous God. And we just can't be okay with that. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that some. Now, who needs repentance? But that all should come to repentance. Say, where's repentance? I'll go there. It's a mindset. It's an expression of our heart. And God wants us to live there. There are certain areas where we really just don't want to, it's not healthy to live. Say where? Pity, doubt, fear. Those ought to be expressions. Today we caught something at church. Say, what was it? It was alive and it likes to eat peanut butter. I'm just saying. And Pastor Seatman had the brilliant idea. It's been eating my candy bars and my out of my office. It's serious, Brother Sutliff. It's serious. Then I ate his Kit Kat, and he brought it down. And he's like, it's all out war now. Like, it's us against him. So we caught his little brother today. And, you look in. I hear something upstairs, and I go, and I get it, and I look in, and there's a mouse in there. I'm like, oh! Scared me for a second. Garrett's like, I'm on it.
I can see it. I see him. He's on it. He's ready to go. And there was a moment of fear, right? So you were afraid of mice? Well, for a second, yeah, right? I mean, you look into the garbage can, and there's two little eyes looking at you, and that little joker could jump. So I was slightly startled. But you don't live there. You don't want to live in fear. You don't want to live in doubts. You don't want to be crippled by these feelings, expressions. But there's something that ought to show up on a regular basis in our hearts. And that's the spirit of repentance. Sorrow over our sin against a holy God. So much so that we want to turn from it. In Revelation chapter 16, it says that he was doing all these things and they didn't want to repent. They didn't want to turn from what they were doing. They wanted to keep going. They wanted to keep gnawing on themselves because of the pain. Could they just have turned? And so often in our own lives, we'll just deal with the consequences of a sinful lifestyle instead of turning. Who needs repentance? We all do. Look at James chapter 4. James chapter 4 and verse 8. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. No, we need real repentance. There's a real need in each of us to have it, but we need some deep cleaning. My stepmom is a deep cleaner. I don't know how else to describe it. I thank the world of my stepmom. She's one of the nicest people I've ever met, kindest, lovingest person. She's wonderful. But she's a cleaner. If you need something white, like a white shirt, I don't know what she does, but she really cleans stuff. Oh, that we would take that mindset and apply repentance to our own heart to get down. Yeah, sometimes we just cleanse our hands, but it says more, and purify your hearts. If I really wanted to get my soul clean, I could work on the outside stuff, the hands. But God says, no, I desire that you get all the way down into the... We can work on the things that everybody sees, right? That's part of it. But what about that sin that's deep inside? Hey, we need a spirit and an attitude of repentance. That we're just not okay with offending God. And that's not just a moment at an altar when you were so young and someone expressed to you the dangers of hell or the blessings of heaven, or for the first time you understood what it meant to be saved and you came forward with tears in your eyes and repented of your sin. Hey, that's wonderful and that's good and you should do that. But what about since then? A deep clean. Look in 2 Chronicles. Say, how do I do that? 2 Chronicles, a familiar verse, 2 Chronicles 7. Verse 14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, that sounds like repentance to me, and turn from their wicked ways, that means you are going this way. And where was the battle and the turning point?
If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. The point of change happens when there's humility coupled with prayer. And then we turn from our ways. Then there's repentance.
The best way I know to approach sin is prayerfully.
The best way that God speaks to us and reveals things is prayerfully, humbly, willing to turn. Real repentance. Number one, we see the need for it. Number two, it's going to take a deep clean. Number three, we prayerfully approach it. But then we go to 1 John chapter 1. Just a couple more thoughts here. I just wanted to remind us of how important the attitude and spirit of repentance is. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just in 1 John 1, 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Praise the Lord, God has given us hope in helping us. That if we do these things, that if I do humble myself, that if I do prayerfully confess my sin, and He allows me to turn from my ways and go a different direction and forgives us. There's actions. Rick, maybe you could testify of this. Maybe Brother Martinez, but if you do a certain crime, no matter how many times you say you're sorry and beg God, the rest of your life is settled. You do something bad enough, you'll spend the rest of your life in jail. No matter how reformed and how sorry you are. But do you see that God forgives us? That we can make right with God. That we can turn from our wicked ways. And there's help available. Last thought tonight. Luke chapter 15. We're going to look at two passages in Luke. Luke chapter 15. Verse 10. I love Luke 15. I don't know. It brings tears to my eyes. I'm sappy in my old age. I don't know what it is, but Luke 15:10. It says, "Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repenteth." Look at chapter 17. Verse 1. "Then said he unto his disciples, It is impossible but that of offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and cast into the sea than he should offend one of these little ones." Oh, be careful, right? "Take heed to yourselves," it says, "if thy brother trespass against thee," look at now, "rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him." Our last point here tonight, it's always right to repent. Well, I'll get to that. Hey, it's always right to repent right now. We just saw there's joy going on in heaven over a sinner repenting. Here, it says, if he repent, forgive him. I almost feel like that's God expressing his view towards us. I know it's talking about interaction, but so often, right, the interaction that he has with us is an example of how we ought to act towards others. His very character is what we ought to express to others. He was merciful, therefore we ought to be merciful. He was gracious, therefore we ought to be gracious. He was loving and kind, therefore we ought to be loving and kind. He was forgiving. Hey, if they repent, forgive him. Isn't that good to know that when we come to God and truly repent of our sin, forgiveness? And it's always right. Look at verse 5. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day, turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. How do you think that would be easy? That is not easy. Look at verse 5. Read verse 5. I'll tell you how uneasy it is. That's not easy. Uneasy is not easy. Sorry. And the apostle said unto the Lord, we're going to need help. Increase our faith. He says, if your friend or someone that offended you comes and repents and says forgive him, you forgive him. Even if he does it 7 times in one day. And they say, we're going to need some more faith with that. Repentance is always right. We ought to always... Hey, praise the Lord, a guy did wrong 7 times in one day, and 7 times he asked and tried to make right. How oftentimes do we take our sin and just, you know the phrase, sweep it under the rug? We'll just cover this up. Praise the Lord, there was a guy that 7 times throughout one day blew it and tried to make right. All too often we draw attention to the apostles and those that are trying to express forgiveness and how difficult that is. And certainly it is difficult. The passage lends itself and leads us in that thought and identifies it. But what about the guy that repented 7 times? Know when we repent? When it explodes. When it's overwhelming. Why don't we repent when it shows up? I'll tell you why. Because we don't have a daily spirit of repentance. Because we've approached the benevolence of God unthankfully. Because we don't have deep sorrow for our sin. And that's an attitude we need to carry every day, all the time. This isn't a moment a long time ago. I trusted Christ 32 years ago. That ought not to be the last time I repented. What is your daily response to repentance? Do we daily repent and look for ways to turn from our sin? Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you, God, thank you for who you are. Our verse this week, full of compassion and gracious and long-suffering and plenteous and mercy and truth. God, thank you. Thank you that I can bring my mess to you and you forgive me. Lord, forgive me for not bringing my mess. Forgive me for hiding. Lord, forgive me for just washing my hands and not purifying my heart. Lord, I pray that you'd give us an attitude and a spirit of repentance, deep sorrow in wanting to turn from our sins. Lord, thank you again for your kindness and love to us. Lord, I pray that we'd not overlook your kindness, your grace, your benevolence. Lord, watch over us now, protect us as we travel home. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a good night.